Log Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blue your mouth.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
it's
me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Regal, Regal, Regal.
If I want some advice on how to raise six annoying children, I come to you, dear. If I wanted to know something of some use, I'd ask the bloody Partridge family.
Don't you ever disrespect Carol Brady or the Brady Bunch. Now you get up. Go on, go on.
And as the dust settles, it is time for us to once again educate the world on the wrestling business as a whole. So ladies and gentlemen, do not adjust your internet. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And despite the wild 70s references, we are living in the present. We've got a light crew here tonight, so let me just point north and point out Mr. Jason Block.
Okay, look, you got to break it here. Have you talked to your Uncle Paul? Seriously, you got to let us know.
I'll break it here in just a moment, but I need to point over here to our third, ironically named fourth.
I'm not liking the build-up, particularly for the SmackDown main event of Money in the Bank, because Ray hasn't been involved in the build-up that much. It's basically been Swagger and Kane. I hate that.
We'll take a closer look at that in just a moment. So before I jump in on Victory Road, I guess I better do this. Speculation is continuing. The continued increase of old school ECW participants showing up in the Impact Zone. Your Uncle Paul is involved. Currently, that is still a great big smoking maybe. My Uncle Paul has a great deal of loyalty to Brock Lesnar. He's working on a book with Brock, helping him raise his much larger daughter, who would probably beat up his own daughter, and is seconding him throughout his UFC career. So, at this point, as Uncle Paul pointed out in his interview after UFC 116, he would require absolute control and an eight-figure salary. Dixie, I know you don't have either. Never say never.
Well, to be fair, I was going to say, doesn't Spike pay some of the bigger paychecks like for Angle and Sting? Can they ask them for that money? Or
here's the trick, though: would Spike actually foot the bill to pay the head booker more than the on-air talent?
I'm not exactly sure about that, but remember, Spike is owned by Viacom, which is a multi-billion dollar corporation. The question is, will they foot the bill, and will Dixie and you know, Panda Energy give Heyman full and complete control? But remember, Hogan and Bischoff were not at this week's tapings, or they will not be at next week's tapings, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very, very interesting sign.
Which I believe did reflect in their ratings this week, as they have peaked up. They have peaked up at 1-1. So good for TNA. So I'm going to do them a favor and speak about them more than 2 minutes tonight. And not just because they have a pay-per-view and some very good news on their roster. But I'll get to that part in just a moment. Just a quick rundown of our Victory Road results. Let's see, Styles and Kazarian faced off against Samoa Joe and Big Rob Terry, something that nobody thought of. We all figured it was just going to be Generation Me. What we all did get right was that Styles and Kazarian won. Brother Devon, Brother Ray versus Jesse Neal. Let's see. I did not get it right, but I see that Josh and Carl and Forth got it completely correct that Brother Ray ends up pinning Jesse. And that is a situation still not resolved. Angle versus Angelo De Niro, our boy De Niro, or blah. Angle versus the Pope.
Pope is pimping.
Well, not very well Sunday night, and we all knew what was going to happen as Dorcas pulled one over on the Pope. Let's see. Everybody also got the Knockouts title correct, that Angelina Love wins over Madison Rain, even in controversial fashion. Let's see. We also all got Hernandez over Matt Morgan. So that's an easy one. Motor City Machine Guns versus Beer Money. Most of us figured that the Guns were going to win. Josh and I are the only ones that got that 100% correct, that Alex Shelley pinned Robert Roode. Congratulations to the Guns. Now behave yourselves. Let's see. Williams versus Kendrick. That one seemed a little more up in the air. No pun intended. Myself, Josh, Jim, and Carl got that one right, that Williams would retain. Flair versus Lethal. Everybody but Typho got that correct. Sorry, Typho. That Jay Lethal got a submission win over Rick in the Ultimate Disc, making him tap to his own figure four. Jay Lethal could retire right now and probably be very happy.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, to have... And Jay Lethal working with Ric Flair, they're having a blast together. Don't let the on-air screen fool you. They're having a lot of fun.
And TNA had the most fun in fooling us all with the Fatal 4-Way, realizing that, hey, look, WWE just did 3 Fatal 4-Ways and the title changed hands in all 3 of them. We better not do that because they'll think we're copying them. And we all thought that Abyss had this one, and I contend that Abyss should have still taken it. My love for Zen Meister knows no bounds. And I will formally apologize to Rob and Samoa Joe. That match wasn't as bad as it was at first blush. It is a good match, but I can't wait to see what you guys will actually do on a pay-per-view. Rob ends up retaining as he pins Mr. Anderson. So, when the dust settles, the scores come out like this. Jim, Forth, and Typho were all at the bottom with 6 out of a possible 13. Carl and I tied for second place with 8 each. So, I shall hold up the NAWC Fizzleweight Champion and throw it into the chat room where I will hand it over to Mr. Josh Henniger. Whoops.
I hope to rebound this week, but congratulations to the champion.
Nice job. Awesome
so
stuff.
Nicely done, Josh. And if you'll do me a favor, sir, I know you can hear me. Since VRM isn't here, I'm going to need you to write down the MITB pick'ems. As he posts those in the chat room. Now, next stop on the TNA bandwagon. Whoops, as my machine just does not like me today. Okay. TNA decided that they actually got another one on WWE. but not as direct as we thought. The magazine rack doesn't have it yet, otherwise I'd be happy to break out the list. But any wrestling fan worth their salt knows about the PWI 500.
Yep.
Yep.
So, when this next one comes out, we're going to get a first. The first pure TNA superstar tops the PWI 500. You may not be wearing a belt right now, AJ, but love it and live it.
Honestly, well deserved. Okay? This, may I sing the praises of AJ Styles?
We can even celebrate and hand him something.
Yeah,
hand him
take
something.
A look. It's an eat.
Sorry, it was just too easy.
Seriously, though. This is absolutely an amazing coup for TNA, and it's also an amazing coup for AJ Styles. Because for 8 years, he is the face of TNA wrestling. And no matter if he's a heel or a face, he is Jericho-like in his performances in the ring, his work on the stick, and his development of character. This is well-deserved, and congratulations, AJ. You deserve this, without a doubt.
Of course. And anything to add to that?
I'd like to say that at least now he can officially say that of this era, he is one of the defining wrestlers of the era. You know, that he never really got that due until recently. But definitely congratulations to Styles, and it is very well deserved.
And to pass along a stat, thanks to Stat Boy, of course, this is only the third non-WWE guy to be at the top of the PWI 500 in the last 20 years.
Who were the other two?
The other two were Dean Malenko in 1997 and Sting in 1992.
Good Lord, wow.
The drop in half.
Yeah. Otherwise, that top star has got to be somebody from the E. But this is still monumental. This is the first TNA guy. Pure TNA guy.
Yeah. This is actually, I think, one of, you know, forget Hogan and all this stuff. This is, I think, legitimately one of the biggest moments in the company's history, if not the biggest moment in the company's history. You can define it as such.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter, you know, the articles of PW Insider and all that stuff, the list, the PWI 500, is pretty much the list that people look at, and fans and non-fans alike, and also wrestlers as well. And AJ Styles being the TNA guy, the first TNA guy to ever top the PWI 500 list, he could be, you know, you hear the Danielson chant, best in the world, best in the world, best in the world. That's him.
And rightfully deserved. A mainstay of TNA, one of their biggest highlight performers between him and Joe and Daniels, who is probably sorely missed right now from TNA, they're the ones that helped put TNA on the map. So, you know, this is huge. So, huge props to AJ. He's a great guy. Really cool to meet in person. I've had the privilege. Twice. I've run into him twice, and he's a great guy. And as we all agree, this is well deserved.
Never puts on a bad match either.
No, I can't think of one.
I mean, you know, you could call AJ Styles, and this is a high honor at least for me, the Shawn Michaels of TNA, if you really want to put it that way.
I liked your Jericho reference better, actually.
Okay.
I liked your Jericho reference better.
Okay. That does kind of make sense because AJ Styles flips from heel to face, but when you get him in the ring and you give 20 minutes, he will, you know, he'll do anything to make everyone look good. And himself as well.
And he's done so for 8 years. I mean, heck, he even made Angle look good in the TNA video game commercial.
Oh. Yeah, he jobbed.
Yeah, he jobbed. He jobbed in that. I don't know if that counts, but I just thought I'd throw that in there.
He jobbed.
The worst part is they're airing that ad again.
Yes, they're just reusing. They're reusing the footage from the original game for the PSP game. To Madison Avenue on that case.
Whoa! Yeah, that is what you call being cheap ass.
Can we at least get Joe trashing the video store? Seriously. Give me Joe and Abyss trashing the video store this time around.
I haven't noticed. Did they even attempt to try to cover up, what was it, like the 11 times that he had on his singlet at the time?
I don't remember. I don't believe it did. I was too busy facepalming. I don't know about anybody else.
I got to look for that because, well, I would say the whole 13-time heavyweight champion thing is obviously not true, but at least, you know, update it to reflect the new revisionist statistic.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else we got here? Well, congratulations, TNA. You've managed to get me to talk about you guys for 17 straight minutes. Shall we just go for 20 and then just back up to WWE?
Well, why not?
All right. Now, as I referenced earlier, the ECW contingent is slowly growing with the conspicuous arrival of Tommy Dreamer, Stevie Richards, Raven, and Rhino. Who show up at some point in the show and have a seat and watch and distract the audience. Well, this past Thursday, they finally took matters into their own hands and jumped in the ring, setting a bad example for somebody else who probably, I believe, pulled the same thing during those tapings. But that aside, this turned into a locker room clearing brawl that included damage to road agents. Terry Taylor took a bump. D'Lo Brown was beaten up.
Sorry to interrupt, but Terry Taylor selling that punch was awesome.
People forget how good Terry Taylor is. I watched him at some nobody show in Pickerington. I shouldn't say nobody show. It was one of Ted Senior's church shows. And Terry Taylor came down and worked it, and it just I was so impressed. Unfortunately, the Red Rooster gimmick killed any credibility he will ever have, which is a shame because the man is still good even in his, late 40s?
Yeah.
And I believe we also saw Al Snow and Simon Diamond, Pat Kenny, who I also had the pleasure of working with.
They were out there.
And Foley.
Well, Foley kind of stood at the top of the ramp and smiled and acknowledged Abyss, and that kind of weirded Abyss out. That kind of weirded me out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the weirdest part came near the end. I realize that's the wrong female head honcho, but it's apropos. Dixie getting on the horn and saying, I invited them.
You think she could have done that earlier?
I would think she would have been screaming stop a lot sooner before somebody got hurt, like Tommy and his slightly torn MCL.
Maybe.
Tommy says he's working through it. I would have think, yeah, I agree that she should have interrupted this a little bit sooner, only because I really wanted to know the rest of the story. But, for personal dramatic effect, she made sure that we tune in next week.
Yep. And, okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, so forth. Where do you, you know, I'm sure you've read a few things. Do you think that they would be willing to turn one of their pay-per-views, or possibly just one of, you know, one of their events, into a one-night stand-esque show, since they've got so many ECW guys handy?
I think they would, but it is definitely a big risk with the idea that the basis of the pay-per-view would be an intellectual property they don't own, but I think it's something that they can do it. I think they definitely should, if only because the last time the fans saw ECW, unfortunately, it involved the Leprechaun, it involved all the stuff that wasn't what the real ECW was about. That if this can be a, like, the real final send-off, I'm one to see it.
Jason, since that's probably going to go down in your neighborhood, because they booked Hammerstein. What do you think?
They've booked Hammerstein. Yeah, but it's on a Thursday night. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Wait a minute.
I think so, Jason, but I don't think I can smuggle that much lighter fluid on the plane.
No. Thank you, Pinky. Oh, boy. That's an old-school 90s cartoon reference. No, they could do one of two things. They could play many different ways. They could play it as a live pay-per-view. They could play it as a live Impact from the Hammerstein, because it is, you know, September 23rd, which is a Thursday night, you know. They can do a lot of things with this if they're going to do a, you know, really closed, you know, close the shop, you know, get rid of the ECW that we, you know, this ECW 2.0 memories, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But it's going to be very interesting to watch, and you know what? People will still see it. Now, the question is, going back to what you're saying, You know, we were talking about your dear Uncle Paul. Do you think he would be involved in this?
I know he would love to be involved, but he really has, and he's got so much on his plate with Brock that I don't think he can do both. I also think he needs to tread very lightly here, because you've got to know that WWE is keeping a very, very close eye on this. Enough ECW references come up, and Vince will try to shut it down.
I'm honestly surprised he didn't try it based on how many times Tanay and Taz referred to them as being former ECW.
I'm not sure where the line is. I just know that Vince has an army of lawyers, and he's not afraid to use them.
Well, here is what I think, and since I am a paralegal, and I do know a little bit about legal stuff, so if anybody out there can correct me on this, this is the way I would say it, okay?
All right.
I believe Vince has a trademark to the name ECW, and to the logo, and to the video footage from the ECW library, correct? As far as I know.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. As long as TNA does not call the pay-per-view anything with ECW in it, or use the logos, they're okay, because there's no trademark infringement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Raven, Rhino, different spelling, Tommy,
yes,
Dreamer, and all those, I assume, have their names trademarked.
I know, you guys aside, I know RVD owns all of his stuff. He took care of that a long time ago. The Dudleys thought they had it all taken care of, and Uncle Paul kind of screwed that up, and it got worse, and that's why they're in TNA now. So, props to TNA for bringing this up, because, yes, old school ECW still sells. Please watch your step, because the last thing I want to see is TNA on the verge of becoming competition get shut down on such a technicality and cost a lot of people work.
Exactly. I mean, put it to you this way. This could be fun because you've got people out there who are still around. Still be fun to bring it in.
So,
and you
finger-
open, you know?
Go ahead.
You know, I mean, people like C.W. Anderson, like, who else we could bring in? Balls Mahoney one more time, the chair swinging freak.
Yeah, bring him in, but be careful. Yeah. Sabu is in no shape to work. As far as I know, he's not working anywhere right now.
I'd honestly like to see them bring in Terry Funk as a commentator. Not in ring at the moment, but just as a commentator to sit at the table. That would be an interesting touch.
That'd be nice. I could see that. They could get some of the smaller guys like Justin Credible, Danny Doring, Amish Roadkill I know is still floating around out there. He's out of he was out of WWE developmental a couple of years ago, so a little arm twist, and I'm sure he'd do it. And if you have Tommy, you have Eula.
Mom.
Mama Eula, so she's got to find a way to dress up the girls. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further with that because I don't need a tweet from Tommy Dreamer saying, hey now. let's see, where can we go from here? I think I'm gonna step in the middle of everything. Before we head directly up north into what's going on in the WWE universe, Jericho's downfall is actually still up in the air. Remember, he is tethered.
Yes, hooked in by the two hot models, yes.
Yes, he's mentioned those are the two hottest people he's ever seen set stuff up like that, so... But it's my understanding, and this is based on some things that was said on Jericho's Twitter. Jason has different information. That downfall, the pace of downfall, pretty much set Jericho up. We kind of ran out of contestants, so they're going to go. They're supposedly going to shoot more to be released in the fall. That is Jericho's side of the story, but you have the network side of the story, Jason.
Yeah. Well, the network side of the story stated that the season finale is going to be this coming week, July 20th. He said on his Twitter, and I'll read his quote if you don't mind, "Downfall wasn't pulled or canceled due to a faster-paced edited show. We simply ran out of contestants after the fifth show and didn't have enough material for a sixth show. We're going to film more episodes in the fall. Sorry, haters." Now, as you know, I am also a game show writer for a website, if I may plug, called GameShowNewsNet.com.
Yeah.
And we've been following the ratings for the show. The ratings for the show have been brutally bad, okay? However, because each episode has lost viewers from the week before. Now, I understand you said they've gotten about 4 million viewers and all that sort of stuff.
Right, but that just might have been a specific week.
Right, exactly. However, remember, shows that don't necessarily do well in the ratings get picked up because they are cheap to produce. They haven't been really giving away much on Downfall because most of the contestants have been, dumb as bricks.
I thought it was just me, and just sitting there with my head in my hands, or just shouting at the television.
Yeah, exactly. And while the show itself is not that great, ABC might want to pick it up. You never know. I mean, Jericho may have information now that may change because TV changes differently. I actually think that even if the show does not get picked up, I still think Jericho is a host looking for a property. In other words, he was the best thing about the show. So, it wasn't a bad first effort. Let's see what Jericho has got to do. You know.
Now, fourth, I'm going to throw something else at you. I forget where I read this. Jericho's contract is coming up soon. And if he doesn't re-sign, then he can go off and do whatever the hell he wants. So, if Downfall gets up, it sounds like he's got himself another job. That's going to be a huge loss to WWE, don't you think?
I think it will. But I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do, because I heard they're going to put out a DVD at some point, but if the contract expires before then I think we're probably just going to see the way they did with Jeff Hardy and just have somebody else start talking about how they drove him out of WWE and start talking about the DVD. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see if he stays or not. I would like him to stay, but it's his choice. If he wants to do something else, if he wants to do something like a game show or even a sitcom, then it's his right, it's his decision, and I support that.
Fair enough.
Just to let you know, he ain't going anywhere. What is he, 37?
Yeah.
He's 37. He's in very decent shape. And Jericho, I think, has to, you know, will be in a role where he puts over the younger guys or stays at the top. I don't see him leaving WWE anytime soon. But if he does, I don't see him lacking for work either.
No. And Jericho is somebody who apparently needs to have 50 things going on at once. Is it just me?
Yeah. I mean, does he sleep?
Well, I want to know when he... I figure he eats in the car. I just want to know when he sleeps.
Yeah, let's see. What is it? Game show host, wrestler, rock and roll star,
right?
Award show host. I'm wondering if he'll be in WWE Creative too. Let's put him there as well.
I'd vote for that. I'll take that. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. I mean, we're all anticipating his next book, How to Become Undisputed Champion in 1,372 Easy Steps. That is the actual title. I might have the number wrong, but it's something that silly.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he's still working on the book, touring with Fozzy, including a European tour coming up here pretty soon, because they keep posting dates for England and France. Lucky bastards. Anyway,
and also his match becomes a pay-per-view this weekend. He created Money in the Bank, if you remember correctly.
He was the one who introduced it, and well, somebody just let him win it, but I'm not going to give away my pick-em on that just yet, because we need to talk about some of the nonsense that happened on Monday night. Now, while Wrestling Globe newsletter isn't one of the sources, because apparently it picks up its information from every which way, sitcom mom Florence Henderson, a.k.a. Carol Brady, might be our last guest host. You see, I hear a celebration from you, sir.
I'm just thinking, thank God, because we've had good guest hosts, but I mean, we've had some pretty terrible ones along the way. I don't even know which ones were worse. The ones that were on the show for half the show and botched everything, or the ones that just arrived, plugged whatever they wanted, and weren't seen since that plug?
It's a tough call. I understand Vince's reasoning on this, but I think he's going to finally pull the plug because at the end of the day, it really didn't affect ratings unless it was an ex-wrestler, and they were doing that anyway. Right, Jason?
Yeah, because here's the problem with guest hosts. You either had guest hosts who basically interrupted the flow of the way the story was going, which, you know, in certain guest hosts, or you had some that didn't know what the hell they were doing, or you had some who got it. And you didn't know what you were going to get week to week. And, you know, it's okay. It's fine. You know, it was a good try. I mean, you can name some of the good ones that were great. You know, of course, Shaquille O'Neal, Bob Barker. You could also say Florence Henderson because she was awesome. She was great. And
she got it. She was having way too much fun.
But you know what? I mean, it's time for wrestling to be wrestling again, and you know, a real general manager, not one behind the computer.
What you do? You don't get him buzzing in every so often. I need a better sound for that.
At least now he's switching up who he's stealing his lines from.
Yeah, Jim, do me a favor. If you can get me the sound effect for our anonymous GM, I would like to have that on the show.
Yes.
I promise you the mystery GM will not interrupt this show because I'm not going to wait.
I think that sound effect is stock footage because I actually heard that same effect on a news broadcast. And I just laughed a little bit inside.
But it's just a stock sound because they don't want to use an established email sound as if to promote an email client.
You got mail, AOL, for example?
Yeah. And the distinct tone from Outlook. So, you know, as somebody who was and still is on AOL, I used to change up my email thing so that I could, you know, so that I wouldn't have to hear "You Got Mail." I think that was the only sound I could change, though.
Mm.
That's all right.
Although, how many times do you want to, like, kick your TV screen in when Michael Cole said, "May I have..." attention, please. And I quote.
it's beautiful heat for him, and that's why I'm worried that he's going to end up, you know, they're going to end up putting him in charge of the Nexus, or he's going to be the mystery GM. It was me, Cena. It was me all along.
Nice.
Only if Jim Ross comes in to say, "Ah, son of a bitch."
Well.
No, Ross wouldn't stop there.
Go to hell.
And I'm trying to find it, and it's not, I don't know if it's on here anymore. I know I didn't believe. No, it's not on here anymore. At least I can't find it right this second.
One minor article I found interesting is Bryan Danielson's going to need a new nickname.
Yes, because he sold his American Dragon stuff to WWE. Now, interesting thing that popped up on his Twitter today, he's having a contest. And he wants to get a new logo, but what he wanted was, in a second, I'll see if I still have it. Ow. Excuse me while my cat is attacking me. Okay. I don't suppose anyone out there could draw me a mean-looking teddy bear that looks like me using four colors or less.
Somebody's got to be able to do that. I don't know
so,
who, but somebody.
So I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to do you a favor, Brian. I'm going to read the other tweet about this for all you artistic people out there. Send your mean ugly bears to danielsonfanmail@gmail.com and he will come up with a prize. You have until Sunday. Oh, yes. Bonus points if you can incorporate ties.
I wasn't thinking of a logo, but I thought of a nickname he could use from time to time if he just calls himself too violent for sports entertainment. I think it would have really a nice kind of appeal and almost kind of be almost like a dig at them, at WWE.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. But speaking of that, did anyone hear when Sarita was choking out Taylor Wilde with a purse and Tad says you could get fired for that?
I'm sorry I missed that.
Yes. Oh, man.
I'm so sorry I missed that. But, no, Raw at least went out with a bang with their guest host. I really enjoyed Anderson as, you know, for what little she did do with the sitcom-esque jokes, thank you, Santino. And, of course, to whoever in WWE and creative decided to do an intro video based on the Brady Bunch, which, if you happen to swing by the WrestleCrap.com forums, go take a look. It is posted up there, and it is facepalm-worthy. It's a good facepalm-worthy.
Yeah. Although the suspension of disbelief was pretty harsh when you knew when she went for the great Kali air for Santino. Oh, God. Sorry, I'm facepalming now just thinking about it.
That amused me a bit. Poor Santino. But that's okay. Santino will find other ways to get himself on television, and that will mean dragging along his Russian landstorm, Vladimir Kozlov, with him.
Although, I have to say, though, there was one of those highlight-worthy moments last Monday when Evan Bourne does his airborne shooting star press, and Randy Orton RKOs him from a kneeling position? Or a sitting position.
Pretty
much
kneeling.
He was actually prone, and got up just a little bit and caught Bourne on the last like 2 or 3 feet of the fall. And the first time I saw it, I wasn't sure what to think. I honestly thought he got up too late. That might be my Orton bias. I thought that Orton had gotten up too late and didn't really contribute to the move. There are a couple of much better angles of this to show that he actually did it right.
I cheered. It takes a lot to cheer Randy Orton, but God, that was insane.
So,
go
ahead,
I was going to say, I think they found something to put into a big match that I hope they don't overuse. That somebody's about to put their finisher on, and suddenly goes from the RKO, because he's done this twice before, and it's
mm-hmm.
looked off times. So I would like to see what other finishing moves that he can just counter into the RKO.
Well, the man better sit down with as much DDP video as he can get his hands on. Because remember, Paige made a career out of this. That he could hit you with the diamond cutter from any position. And if Randy wants to start really impressing people and continue to earn his position at the top of the ladder, he needs to do the same thing. Now, yes, it could be overused, but given how many different finishers he comes up against, especially the fact that he could be facing potentially seven different finishers on Sunday. He's got some homework to do. So, let's see. Dust settling around there. Have we covered pretty much all our big stuff?
Well, I mean, we also have the Nexus beating up people and Sheamus running away like a little girl. But that was...
I was going to say, not that he ran, but just how he looked when he ran and the fact that he was yelling for Cena's locker room really kind of, at least briefly, damaged the momentum that he had with me. It was just so uncharacteristic that if he isn't turning even more of a heel by leading them, I have no idea how they can remedy that.
I think we'll get a better remedy of that on Sunday, for sure. But Sheamus partially kept to his heel roots by not engaging the Nexus, because Yoshikatsu tried and didn't get very far. John Morrison, being the Han Solo of the group, actually shot first.
Yes.
Everybody else was essentially looking around going, oh shit, I'm dead. And to enforce this, the Nexus are required to maintain character outside of the arenas. Good luck getting an autograph, because they're not allowed. They're not going to give them.
Oh, you really? I didn't hear this.
So it's essentially kayfabe's really being hung over their heads. Vortis, you were going to say?
I was going to say, I heard they've actually been instructed, if someone asks, to decline and tell them that they're not supposed to, or something like that.
It's something to that effect. Now, the house shows I went to a couple of weekends ago, Youngstown, their facility is horrible for getting anybody. So I really wasn't sure if that was in effect. Wheeling is one of the best places to get autographs. Yes, I'm going to show West Banco. I love the place. And as far as I know, to the couple of people that were there well before me, none of the Nexus even came over. I mean, when I have somebody come up to me and show me their camera and they get a picture with Edge, but can't get anybody in the Nexus.
Oh, man.
Me. So, with that in mind, Stat Boy, get your papers out. I know you're listening. Let's see. Just sent to me, Nikki. The change of the opening signature is making many in the IWC go nuts. Ah, yes. Dear IWC, stop panicking because they took JR out of WWE's opening signature. JR has not done announcing for WWE in what, a year?
I was going to say, I was thinking more, it looked like they took Sammartino out and replaced him with Buddy Rogers, if I'm not mistaken. That's what actually caught my eye way before Jim Ross.
They also put in Gorgeous George, and I understand that WWE is trying to put something together to do a biopic for him, so I understood that one.
I believe they also took, I think they took the Ric Flair one out of there. The Hogan thing, Hogan's gone. Cena's the champ now. It ends with Cena now, correct?
Yes, it ends with Cena calling the champ is here as being currently the signature face of the company. So, I think fair enough. And, by the way, PS IWC, JR isn't real real broken up about it. He'll make his money if he'll just buy his beef jerky and barbecue sauce. Which means, JR, you owe me a bottle.
And the chipotle ketchup, which I heard is really good.
I'm gonna have to get nutrition labels. I want to see what the sodium content is on this. Let me get my stuff ready for pick'ems because we've got a pay-per-view this Sunday. The inaugural Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which Chris Jericho should be more than happy to see that his concept has come this far. What started as a highlight match and an opportunity to get 8 guys in onto the WrestleMania card and get them their payday is now one big open formal occasion to get 16 guys a regular payday on a non-Big Four pay-per-view. So, with that in mind, are you two gentlemen ready?
Let's do this.
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to have to move quickly. We have less than 10 minutes. So, I'll start with the easy stuff. This is the first WWE pay-per-view in some time, if not ever, that both women's titles are being defended. So I'm going to start there. Layla, who is the official women's champion, will be defending her title against Kelly Kelly. So, fourth, what do you think?
I think McCool is definitely, either McCool or Rosa Mendez is going to get involved, but either way, Layla is going to be using some underhanded tactics and she's going to retain.
Okay, Jason?
Beautiful People White still wins, Layla.
I'm going to take Layla as well because Kelly had momentum tonight. The Pretty Pretty Princess belt is up for grabs as Alicia Fox will be defending this against Eve. Fourth.
This one I think Eve is going to win by disqualification because I think they're having a little too much fun with Alicia Fox as champion right now to end it. So Alicia will lose but retain the championship.
Jason, what do you think?
I think Eve is going to take this because I think Maurice needs to get back into the title picture. Eve wins.
I'm going to take Eve on this one too because Alicia is actually quite the heel. But I wouldn't mind seeing Eve have it back, and yeah, get Maurice involved, because it'd be fun to see how serious Maurice and Alicia will go into chasing Eve Torres. And Eve doesn't have a whole lot of backup, because they really don't want to do much with Gail, and Natty has other business. After all, there's a unified tag team title match going on. Thank you for my segue. The Hart Dynasty is putting their belts up against the Usos, and, of course, Tamina will be around. Fourth, what do you think?
I'm thinking the champions retain in this one. It's still way too early to put them on the Usos.
Jason?
I agree. The Usos, the champs win, but I think the Usos are going to lay them out after the match in such a way to make them look like badass heels.
Yeah, I like that. Hart Dynasty is going to win the match, but the Usos are winning the segment. I'll take that. Let's see. I'll get to the Money in the Bank matches last. Rey Mysterio versus Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger has stolen the angle lock and has continued to transformation into being the all-American, American, American, American dork. So, Mysterio's got a bum ankle. Swagger still got Kane breathing down his neck because I don't think Kane bought the alibi. And Swagger's back, place.
I was going to say, I think that was Buck, Bunkhouse Buck, I think it was. It was playing the father.
Okay. And to be honest, Mr. Swagger, those pictures could have been taken any time. And I'm going to point and laugh at your fishing competition garb where you look like you were dressed as a Boy Scout, Mr. 25-year-old. Fourth, who do you got?
I think that Swagger has basically looked dominant all through this feud, except for one minor instance tonight. So I think he will win by ref stoppage. He'll just keep that ankle lock on until the ref just says Ray can't handle it anymore.
Jason?
This hopefully will be the time that Ray finally gets his leg fixed up. He's going to break his ankle. He's going to snap it. Swagger wins dominantly.
I'm thinking the same way. Ray has needed to get his knees worked on all this time, and having his ankle tied in a knot would be a great way to get him out of there. Kane might poke his head in, but he does have other things on his mind. Get back to the Big Red Machine in a moment. What's my time looking like? 3 minutes. Oops, I better move a little quicker. Sheamus and Cena in a steel cage. Horse, what do you got?
I still think the Nexus will get involved with this regardless of the cage. Ultimately, Sheamus is going to retain.
Jason?
This is how it's going to play out. Sheamus is going to retain. Nexus gets in the cage and beats up both Sheamus and Cena. Cue the return of the evil Doc to end the show. To set up for SummerSlam.
Oh, I love that. House show plays out that the match pretty much ends up getting thrown out, leaving Sheamus to retain. I'm leaving Sheamus to retain because Cena can't beat Sheamus. We have found the one man that Super Cena cannot defeat.
Yes, the green kryptonite, yeah.
Yes. So. Okay, then we get to the Money in the Bank ladder matches. Again, these are going to be one-pointers anyway, just for my peace of mind. Raw Money in the Bank ladder match. Orton, Morrison, Mark Henry, Evan Bourne, Ted Jr., Chris Jericho, Edge, and The Miz. Jason, you got?
Wow. You know what? I'm going to call this. It's going to be Chris Jericho, and I'll tell you why. Because you're going to eventually have a face as champ, Triple H, I think, sometime soon. And you're going to need a heel to have it. And therefore, it's going to be Chris Jericho. He's going to finally win his match.
Fourth up.
I'm actually thinking The Miz will and will carry the briefcase around, and then probably a month or so after losing the U.S. Championship, then he'll use the shot. So I'm thinking it's going to be Miz just so he can gloat about being Mr. Money in the Bank.
I'm going to stick with Jason's pick. I really want to see Jericho pull this down. He needs this. This is his match. And about time he actually win it. Now, in our last minute, we have the SmackDown Money in the Bank. SmackDown Money in the Bank match. And that's quite a handful. Big Show, Matt Hardy, Christian, Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Kane, Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler. Jason, make it quick.
Drew McIntyre.
I get the feeling Kane will if Swagger wins, so he can have a reason to continue breathing down his neck. As out there as it is, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm going with Christian. Christian needs it. I really want to see it happen. Christian deserves it. He has done so much for the company, and he lacks momentum. Granted, so does Matt, but I just can't see Matt getting there. So, I'm going to be ordering the pay-per-view, and I'm going to sit down and enjoy it, hopefully with a handful of friends. But that's going to do it for us, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the North American Wrestling Connection. I hope I haven't offended anybody tonight. So, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Till next week.